It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, it's a Monday night Hurricane Hotline. We got a jam-packed week on the station, so we've got the Heat and the Panthers, and it's Florida State week. So here we are tonight, and actually got like 4 hours of lots of college talk, because we've got 2 hours with the Canes, and then Old Blue comes along at 8 o'clock, although Blue is going to join us on the show in hour number two. So coming up on the show, Mario Cristobal joins us here in the first half hour, Don Bailey Jr. in the second half hour, Mike Cugno from CBS4. Now, Mike is a Seminole, but he's done a lot of great stories on the Hurricanes this year. So we'll get some insight from Mike on some of the great stories that he's done this year on the Hurricanes. Had one the other day on Xavier Restrepo. And then Larry Bluestein will join us coming up here tonight. So a big show lined up for you. Of course, Saturday is Miami and Florida State, 7 o'clock kickoff, and we'll be on the air at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This past Saturday, it was wild. We were in Louisville, Kentucky. Could not have had a better day. Poster card afternoon, ice blue sky, temperature about 70 degrees the entire day, and in a game that went this way and that way and this way and that way, had more twists and turns than a pretzel, and left us all on the edge of our seat. But somehow, some way, the Hurricanes came out victorious. Trevor Harris has put together a nice montage for us help us paint the picture of what Saturday was like in Louisville with Miami's 52-45 victory over the Cardinals.
Hurricanes 6-0, ranked number 6 in the country. And we are off from L&N Stadium, end over end, into the blue sky. Lacy at the 3 brings it out to the 10. Wiggles to the 15, to the 20-yard line. Still going to the 22, to the 23, to the 24. And brought down by 6 white jerseys on the special teams.
It's going to be chippy today.
Snap is high. It's down. The kick is on the way. It is good.
And listen how quiet it got.
55-yard field goal for Borregales. Gets Miami on the board. And they get something out of what like was going to be nothing. Fletcher at 81 right. yards, 11 carries against Cal. He takes this one. Inside. He's got the 40, 45. Fletcher, the midfield. And there he goes. He's at the 40-yard line, inside the 40, down to the 38-yard line of Louisville before he's dragged down from behind by the defensive lineman, Dez Tell. Tracked him down, who's playing in his 48th game. Hurricanes are going rapid fire now. Empty backfield for Ward on a second down play. Canes trail 7-3, first quarter, 5:28 to go. Ball at the 28 of Louisville. Second time Miami's been deep in Louisville territory. Ward stands tall in the pocket. Scanning. Next to his left. Still looking. Let's fly toward the end zone. It's caught for a touchdown. What a play. What a throw. A gem of a play. 28 yards from Cam Ward to Jacoby George in the back of the end zone. And that was simply astonishing. What a throw. Put it down to 49 to Louisville. And Ward to throw. Looking between the hash marks, lobs it. It's caught by Brown at the 30. He's at the 20 in the front race. He's at the 10-5 and into the end zone. It's a 49-yard touchdown strike from Ward to Brown, and there's joy in the Miami end zone.
Give Ward a clean pocket, and he will pick you apart.
Brown's in the backfield, I formation. He's 7 yards in the end zone. Takes a handoff, runs up the ball.
Ball,
Miami's got it. Touchdown, Miami. They've got it. Touchdown, Miami.
Yes.
Aguirre recovers it for Miami. And Miami's got a defensive touchdown. Oh, my goodness gracious. In the end zone. Superb determination to recover that fumble in the end zone. And Miami just turned this game upside down. Just mentioned, maybe Miami could get a turnover on this drive. And they do. And it's 23-14. Arroyo in motion. Hand off goes Martinez. Finds some room. Breaks one tackle.
Good. He's at the 30.
Breaks another tackle. 25. Martinez still going. Barrels to the 20. He's still going to the 15. And Damian Martinez muscles his way. Flexes his muscle inside the 15. Down to the 14-yard line. Ball to Louisville 6. Between the hash marks. Ward takes. He looks. He scans. He fires. It is caught.
Yes, it is.
Restrepo. Touchdown, Miami. Just inside the pylon, right side of the end zone. And it's Restrepo's moment in the sunshine. Tied at 31. Fourth, third quarter winding down. Ward spins out, rolls left. Gets a block from Arroyo. Now wants to throw deep.
Nuh-uh.
It's
going
to be under the throw. No, he's caught at the 30-yard line. At the 20, Restrepo. He's at the 10, the 5. He dives and is down to the 2. He's down to the 2. A remarkable play by Cam Ward. Restrepo floating through the air like a ghost. Goes 64 yards. And Miami's knocking on the touchdown door. Ward takes. Fires.
Caught
for a touchdown. On a slant. It's Isaiah Horton. Touchdown, Miami. And that's a response by the Hurricanes. Just like that, Miami responds in a big way with Cam Ward swinging a hot bat. And now it's Miami 37 and Louisville 31 with one of the most remarkable plays you'd ever see in the drive with Ward connecting with Restrepo. Ward calls the ball from Carpenter. Fires on a slant to Brown's got it at the 35. Brown breaks a tackle. He's at the 40.
Come on.
And off to the races. And here we go at the 40. He's at the 30 of Louisville. He's at the 25. Down to the 20. Inside the 20. And Brown takes it to the 19.
Mr. Brown.
59 yards for Mr. Brown. Ward takes and gives.
Get
Allen stutters that move. And jitterbugs into the end zone for a Miami touchdown. And just like that, the Hurricanes add to the drama. And march 80 yards for a touchdown. A.J. Allen into the end zone. Miami 44, Louisville 38. Canes clinging to a 7-point lead. Ward back to throw. Steps up in the pocket. Looking, now he's going to run. He's got midfield.
He's got it.
Got the 45. He dives forward, and he got the first down.
Cam Ward goes 18 yards.
He got the first down. My goodness gracious. Ward trying to drain the clock. It's down to 3 seconds. He takes, keeps it on the ground. There's a hole for Martinez. That's 25, 20, breaks the tackle. Angles left to the 10. He's to the 5. He's 3, 2, 1. Touchdown! Touchdown! Damian Martinez! Superb determination and flexing his muscle to get into the end zone. What a run by Damian Martinez! He just proves he is king of the castle. Miami 51 and Louisville 38. Shuck off the right hash mark. He is going to be.
There you go.
They got him this time. It's Reuben Bain. He gets him at the 29.
Bain inflicting the pain. Put a whipping on that lineman. Got into the backfield. Shuck was flushed. And Bain with the sack.
30 seconds in the game. 24 on the clock, and Cam Ward will take a knee, and the University of Miami will take the Howard Schnellenberger Trophy back home to Miami, where it belongs. The Miami Hurricanes come to Louisville, Kentucky on a gorgeous sun-dappled afternoon in a dramatic game. The Miami Hurricanes defeat the Louisville Cardinals 52-45. Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show. Joe Zagacki alongside Don Bailey Jr. and, of course, University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. This week, the Hurricanes will take on the Florida State Seminoles at home, the 69th meeting between the Canes and the Noles. 7 o'clock kickoff at Hard Rock Stadium. And, of course, we want to pack the rock after the Hurricanes go to 7-0 with a wild 52-45 victory over the Louisville Cardinals. Whatever it takes, Coach. There was a topsy-turvy game. Went this way, went that way, went another way, but it came out the winning way.
No doubt. Like our guys, they just keep playing. They play as a team, and they do whatever it takes. And that's a really good football team we beat at their place. It was a great environment, you know, really ruckus and rowdy and whatnot. But our guys seem to just get better as the game gets more difficult and found a way to win.
Coach, the thing that I enjoyed, of course, was 219 rushing yards in that game. It was 538 overall, but you go back and
you start breaking that 200-yard plateau, that's a pretty special day.
It is. It is due to a lot of hard work. I mean, the big guys up front, they really just got their pads down and ran their feet through contact and finished blocks. And then the running backs, they ran angry. They did. They got their pads down. They ran behind those pads, and they kept those feet moving. And also, you know what? They made a lot of people miss. They did. And when there was an extra guy there, they went to work and got those extra yards.
And I believe what you just said. The team gets better as the game goes on, the tougher the game. I think the team gets better. And one of the things you notice about your team is that everybody is engaged.
Well, I think we've recognized that we have to keep getting better. And the teams that we're playing every single week, they get better. So it's a four-quarter game. We've realized that as well. Just keep playing. I mean, these games go in so many different directions, but we've learned and we've realized that as long as we play together and stick together, we always give ourselves a chance.
Coach Cam Ward, 7 consecutive 300-yard games. That's never happened here at the University of Miami. You start talking about the Jim Kellys and the Ericksons and the Vinnies and the Bernies, and it's never happened. So he's at that point, but also when you look at him in last week's game, those 29 rushing yards were as important as every passing yard.
No doubt. I mean, his third down plays that kept things alive with his feet. The way he finished those runs as well, his feel for the pocket and when to actually hit and go was extraordinary, and they were game-changing plays.
Well, all three of us are from Miami. Damian Martinez, his run the other day, I don't know, the two of them, a battering ram, we're from Miami, and I would just say he looked like Larry Zonka.
he certainly... he ran the way that he's capable of running. He's a great player and has an unbelievable future ahead of him. And it was awesome to see him just feel finally really comfortable in our schemes and just go to work. And he did the same in pass protection as well, which is not mentioned probably as much as it needs to be. He was exceptional, one of the players of the game, and looking forward to just more great moments with him.
Well, you had Mark Fletcher come in and have a great day, and he caught 4 balls as well. But then A.J. Allen, who has been described as running very angry, he sure did, and it paid off.
He did. And Mark Fletcher played a great game. I know he'd like the one fumble back, but we trust him. You know, he won't let that happen again. But he ran hard and ran really well, caught the ball well. And then A.J. Allen, credit to Coach Merritt, he brought it up all week and brought it up on game day. This guy he's deserving of an opportunity. His change of pace, his change of style is going to provide some type of spark for us. And he hit a couple runs the way they're supposed to hit him and made a guy miss and ran another guy over. He was another guy that made a big difference, was a big factor in the game.
I did want to mention Louisville's offense. They're going to give the remaining teams on their schedule fits. And I thought, and we talked about it on our broadcast, that it was important defensively for you guys to hit some of your marks. And you had 3 sacks, which is about what you average. You had 6 tackles for losses, about what you average. You had a fumble recovery, which replace the interception, and on third down, you held them to 3 for 12.
Yeah, we did. We hit those benchmarks, and those are things that you have to give yourself a chance to win the football game. And the things that are obvious, the things that we have to continue to work on, address, and just get better at them, right? Getting guys on the ground, tackling, communicating, and there's not a lack of want to. I mean, guys are truly working at it, getting after it, being very specific and detailed, as the coaches are. You know, we're working together on it, and we expect improvement, and we're going to have improvement. But the most important part is recognizing, again, that there are things that we got to get better at, and we're going to do so.
Let's go to the defensive touchdown. You have Bain and Barrow involved in the hit, and then Popo comes in and gets his touchdown. Pretty special deal.
Yeah, Bain, the epitome of block destruction, just, you know, shed the tackles block. And Simeon was coming around on that stunt, and they both they sandwiched the back and spun him around. That ball came loose, and Popo went after that thing, man, like it was his last meal on earth. Now, he went and got it done, and he was not going to be denied in a tremendous game-changing play.
Bain, I think this is an official number, and I've never seen anything like it, although I kind of felt this way. 10 quarterback pressures. They couldn't, I know how they stopped them, but it was illegal the way they stopped them, but 10 quarterback pressures.
Well, 10 quarterback pressures, and that's him fighting through, getting yanked down, right? Getting held, getting double teamed. And the best part about him, he's not looking over at the refs and looking for, you know, hey, help me here, I'm getting tugged down. He just goes, and that's the way, you know, you should play. And he went about his way, and he was, man, that guy is really taking on a whole new level of physical play.
Coach, a testament to your recruiting in this football team and how you're building it. I remember last year we talked to Bain and we were asked him, well, what's the toughest game that you've been in? He says, no, it's at practice going against 61. Mm-hmm. He says, going against my own offensive line has prepared me for everything that I see.
Yeah, those are great things to watch on a daily basis. You watch 61 and CeCe, Francis Mainoa, and you watch Jalen Rivers and the way Markell's developing as well. Samson's come along really well also. You watch guys like Bain and Mezidor, Tyler Barron go against these guys, Elijah Alston, Malik Bryant, who was doing well, was sick this past game, but he's back now. And then you watch the young guys, Armando Blunt and Cole McConathy and Lightfoot, and then you see some epic battles, and you see the future as well with the way that these guys, not only the way they compete, but their level of intensity and their levels of effort. I mean, iron sharpens iron has become a real thing in the trenches on Green Tree.
I want to talk to you a little bit again about these money downs. Third down, offensively, you were 9 for 15. On the first touchdown drive in the third quarter, I think you were 4 for 4 on third downs. But then fourth downs, you're 2 for 2. I think it's important to note, those fourth downs, you pulled the trigger on it deep in your own territory.
Yeah, I felt all the eyeballs look over at me on the sideline. I get it. But, you know, you're in one of those games where possessions are so valuable, and you really don't want to turn the ball over unless you absolutely have to. There's a risk with it. But, you know, going into the game, we felt that our short yardage package and our matchups were in our favor. And that if we had to get the real, real tough ones, that the big guys with the ball in their hands were going to find a way to get their pads down and, you know, drive their knees and find a way to get it. So tremendous. All the credit goes to the players because the trust and confidence is in them, and they found a way to get it done.
We built confidence with that. And you mentioned Jalen being back into the ball game, but also you created rotation where you have McCoy in the game as well. And it just worked out so well. I think we need to recognize Matt McCoy. He had an unbelievable game.
Matt McCoy is going to have a long, long career playing football because he is tough. He's physical. He is super athletic. And you know what? He fights for every ounce that he can get, and he can play tackle, he can play guard, he can probably play center as well. He is unselfish, just a total team player. So he was a big reason why we ran the ball like we did on Saturday.
Maybe you don't want to reveal if it's a secret, but when you go for it on fourth down, there's a lot of discussion in today's football world about going for it on fourth down. It's metrics. Mm-hmm. And Belichick says, well, what the metrics don't take into account is whether it's a good offense going against a bad defense or vice versa. There's a big sample size out there, but it doesn't take into effect those matchups. So I guess, do you look at metrics, or is it more on instinct and gut and knowing your team?
You know, in situations like that, we've studied the analytics forever. So didn't look at it for that particular play. I'm sure if you look at it now, in hindsight, it'll say go for it. It was one of those things where we had our mind made up that we were going to, the matchup favored us, and schematically we felt like we found something we could depend upon, and we went with it. But I do think analytically it would still favor us trying it.
Coach, I'm going to change gears real quick here, but Joe Echevarria was announced as president of the University of Miami. We haven't had you on the show since that has happened, and for me personally, I mean, it's a Miami guy, right? I mean, he went to school here, educated here, and went on to do great things. And I know he was in the locker room after the game. And give us your feelings about that as well.
5-star.
Yeah.
You know, give him a 6-star. You know, he's a home run for this city, this university, this community. I mean, 50 years invested, right? I mean, every part of his body and soul, right? And everything invested in the University of Miami. And he's a difference maker, and he impacts people. His care factor is through the roof. Just an elite human being and an elite professional. I mean, the absolute best of the best. So we're lucky to have him, and looking forward to his leadership as we go forward.
You know, you gave him the game ball, and I thought when I looked at it, the way the players responded to their president, I thought, man, there are a whole bunch of people out there that one day are going to say, I got to go there to play for that coach and that president, because you could see how united everyone was in the locker room. I thought that was pretty cool, and he really appreciated it, and you can see how he's dialed in to your program.
Well, I think that our players recognize the amount of work and the sacrifice that have been made to put all these things together, and our president, Joe Echevarria, is very present You know, he's very visible on all the things University of Miami. I mean, he works around the clock, so they know what's up. And so it was awesome to see them excited as well, and for our president to feel the excitement of our players for him.
You know, Coach, in the locker room, there's average age, I guess, is 20 years old of the players. And the smile and how proud those guys were to carry in the Schnellenberger trophy. I mean, if someone were wearing it as a crown, I mean, they just absolutely loved bringing that trophy home to Miami and making sure it was on the plane and making sure it got here.
You know, that game is such an important game because that's a really good opponent. You know, and they've got a lot of good players and good coaches, and certainly it's a tough place to play. And then the added aspect of the trophy and Coach Schnellenberger, as we all know, what he has done for everything Miami and for college football, and the fact that there's a trophy, you know, that's named in his, you know, his honor is it's special. Mm-hmm. It's special, and it was great to see our players recognize that. I was very blessed to have a little time, my wife and I and our kids had some time with Miss Beverly and got to speak after the game. And because my father was, may he rest in peace, was a huge fan of Coach Schnellenberger. I mean, thought that guy was a real deal. So just very blessed to have the opportunity.
Okay, more of your crystal ball coming up momentarily. Don Bailey Jr., Mike Cugno, and Larry Bluestein also joining us here on the show. Let me talk to you about car buying experience. Now, if you want a car buying experience, the place to go is Williamson Cadillac. Nobody, and I mean nobody, does it better than Ed Williamson, his lovely wife Carol, always there, the general manager, Jeff Rogers. You might want to see Jermaine Chambers. He'll hook you up for sure. Williamson Cadillac, they've been in business for over 50 years, and they built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience. Customers are treated like family at Williamson Cadillac. So go in, experience Williamson Cadillac's preferred atmosphere, easy to find, located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. Before you go, you can go online, WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. They have everything, the CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, the all-new electric Lyriq. I'm driving the XT4, and it's a tremendous drive. It's quiet. It's smooth. It just gets you wherever you need to go. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac. You don't want hassles. You don't want to be bothered. You want customer service that's going to be top shelf. Williamson Automotive Group. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
This week it's Miami and Florida State Hard Rock Stadium. The 69th meeting between the Canes and the Noles. Miami leads the series 35-33. We'll start with this. Hurricane fans, the national media might say, oh, Hurricane fans don't travel. Well, they did travel to Louisville. They traveled to Gainesville and South Florida. And now I think they will show up on Saturday for Florida State, but I know you would love to have a great home field advantage for this one with the Noles.
No doubt. Looking forward to seeing everybody there. On the way out of the stadium on Saturday, that's all the fans were talking about, you know. And it seems like every game that we've been on the road, like, that fan base has grown more and more. It's completely just multiplied. So, we're all looking forward to seeing. We haven't been home in a month. You know, it's been a month since we played at home. And we have the opportunity to play, our biggest rival. They're an excellent football team. And we're all looking forward to the opportunity.
Coach, let's talk about the rivalry for a minute. Forever? I would think that if you're a Miami guy, just as if you're a Florida State guy, the schedule comes out, pick it up, and you circle it. That's the first one you go to. It's a pretty special rivalry, and it is as unpredictable as the weather.
Yeah, I think it's, look, there's everything you want in a rivalry, right? The fan bases hate each other, right? They absolutely want to kill each other, but there's also the respect of these are two storied programs that have played in some epic games over the years, and it seems like every single year, just about every year, there's one of those. So I think we all know this is going to be an extremely just intense and physical game, and again, we're just looking forward to playing our best football.
They come in, we know what their record is, but when you play this game, you have to get rid of the record. And I look at their defense last week against Duke. Two things I look at with them, Coach. They held Duke to under 200 yards of offense at 8-3 and outs, and then I peruse this kicking game they have. The punter averages 49 yards a punt, and the field goal kicker is 9 for 10 with 4 field goals of 50 yards or more. So if they're laying out a plan, they might be thinking defense and special teams.
Well, again, they are as talented as any team, or more talented than any team we have played. Records in these games don't mean anything. I think we all know what they're capable of, and I think they know what we're capable of as well. So this is going to be an epic just heavyweight fight is what it's going to be. So, and you have to prepare, their skilled players, their trenches. There are high-level guys, a lot of NFL players on that roster. They have good coaches. So, again, just looking forward to preparing, and we need to be at our best to be successful on Saturday.
And, Coach, the thing that people get worried about when you have an undefeated team versus a team that hasn't had the success is that you're going to underestimate the opponent. It's not going to happen. I mean, it doesn't happen in this game ever.
Yeah, people use the term throw out the records. Look, whatever the record is, this team is not that record. Yeah. We've watched enough tape, and our players have watched enough tape to fully recognize the battle that we're in for on Saturday. And it's the way this game should always be, and that's what this game is going to be. So the only focus is on practicing and preparing to the best of our ability so we can get better. Because to win, we have to get better.
Your receivers have had great success this year. Restrepo's closing in on all-time receptions at the University of Miami. But as you mentioned, this secondary is one that they will shadow you all over the field and try to make it as difficult as possible.
They're one of the few secondaries around the country that could flat-out play man. Sometimes when you play an opponent, they have one or two guys that can do it. They have all five guys and their reserves that can play man coverage, which allows them to obviously let those guys up front get after the quarterback. And they can get to the quarterback with just four guys. They're one of the top pressure teams in the country. And, again, their blitzes and their third down packages are very challenging. So they're an excellent defense, and they're playing their best football as of last week.
Sam Brown coming off a three-catch, 125-yard day and a touchdown just at the right time.
Yep, and I think hard work has paid off for him. Because, again, when you start so late in the process and you have to catch up to put in extra time. And the best part about it is that Cam Ward's going to get those receivers, and they better be at extra film sessions. If not, good luck trying to catch a football or getting a football thrown your way. That's the way it's got to be. And it's got to be like that forever. And when the extra time was put in and the opportunities came, it's not by coincidence that it worked out. And one of the more important things that Sam did was he finished plays. He spun out of those two tackles, and then when he was about to get tackled down the field, you know what he did? He got rid of that defender as well. That is, whether you have the ball in your hand or not, you've got to be physical and play hard.
I mentioned Bane earlier. I would be remiss if I did not also mention the way Mesidor has been playing. And you ask him to do a lot of different things, and he also shows up late in the game. He makes a lot of clutch plays for you.
Yeah, I mean, him forcing that intentional grounding penalty was massive, And he's like the Swiss Army knife. He goes in at nose, at three, at the five, the four-eye, the nine. He knows the defense inside and out, super smart, and plays with a tremendous motor.
So about that whole defensive front, really, Coach, the front, the down linemen themselves. We obviously talk about Bain and Barrow and Mesidor, but you've also started, I saw McConthy get in the game. You're starting to get that youth in there. And the example that they have by the names I just mentioned, how that helps grow them as football players.
Without a doubt. You know, they have good players that they are learning from, and they're getting some spot reps here and there, and they know they got to make the most of it because, right, you're never guaranteed reps. You know, getting reps is not your right. It's a privilege, and you've got to earn that privilege. So I think that they have a great combination of, while they're young, they could learn from some really experienced older guys and at the same time start getting some reps.
You two guys played on teams here that had a lot of mental toughness. And so the other day, you're up 14, and there's a kickoff return and then a fumble and a touchdown, and all of a sudden the lead evaporates. And your team responds by going right back down the field and scoring another touchdown, and then another touchdown after that. What does it say about your team's mental toughness?
Well, I think our teams are just resilience through hard work and preparation. And there's a very strong belief due to success on Green Tree. I think that really sums it up. I don't think it's complicated, and I don't think it's a magic formula. I mean, they've done the work. They're doing the work. The intent is to even work harder and better tomorrow. So I think all those aspects of our game are going to continue to get stronger because we recognize that for us to keep winning, we have to get better in those things.
Coach, would you call it a mutual investment that everybody is investing pretty close to the same amount of energy and also making sure that what they do helps the entire team?
We're getting there. I mean, if you don't, you're probably not going to be very comfortable here. You're probably going to stick out in the wrong kind of way. And that's the culture that we aim to get to. And I mean that in a positive way. I mean, you're getting a lot of like-minded individuals that recognize the importance of hard work. You know, there's a lot that comes with a good day's hard work, you know, not only with your performance, but your mentality and the mentality of your teammates, their trust and confidence in you. So there's a lot of ground being gained in that direction, and we want to keep our foot on the gas.
A little salute to Borgalis, another 50-yarder, and Joyce, the holder. There are a couple of snaps came in a little bit hot. He did a good job.
His hold on that particular kick was off the charts.
When you look at the protection in field goal and extra point, I know you guys spend a ton of time on it, and it pays off because that's an area where you can really jeopardize a ball game.
Yeah, and you know, that's the most thankless job. Mm-hmm. And certainly one that absolutely no one has ever gotten overly excited about unless that's your only playing time. So just a lot of pride. We got to get better at it. You know, there's certainly, you look every single week, people are attacking it in different ways. And you can't leave any holes out there on tape. So we always analyze that, assess it. We've had some really good moments, and we got to shore up some other ones.
I did want to mention, if you look at the conference, the ACC, we have some really good teams this year that are undefeated right now in conference play. You did coach and recruit in the SEC and the Pac-12, now here in the ACC. This conference, you can see with our own team here, the talent level in this conference is getting better and better and better, isn't it?
Yeah, I think having been in all the conferences, I think the top level teams, they're very comparable, you know, and all three conferences are just, it's very competitive. You know, I think everybody has really good players, so it becomes a matchup game as you get into conference play. So what I see in this league, I see really, really good defensive linemen, which is, you know, it starts with the trenches, right? I see some massive offensive lines. Most everybody's got a really good quarterback and dynamic receivers. So it's a league where, you know, they're going to come down to the final quarter, and it's going to be exciting because guys can throw the ball around, but they can get after the passer also. So it's I can't say enough great things about the level of competition that we've encountered in this being our third year here. And you look at the way that the conference is recruiting and the coaching hires made, it's only going to get better and better. So you know, we're always ready and proud to represent, you know, ourselves and our conference.
Coach, it's been 4 or 5 weeks since I brought this group up, but after each game, you honor the players of the game and performances of the game. But one thing you also talk about every single week after the game is your walk-ons and how they perform. And you honor those guys. And you're not winning games like you're winning without those guys out on the field.
No doubt.
No doubt. And the guys that have walked on and some of the scholarship guys that, the scout team guys, they it's all about the type of look they give us. If they prepare us with great speed and great physicality, we're going to play well. If they're giving us an awful look and that's what we walk into the game having it prepared upon, it's not going to work out. So we those guys grind. And here they're taking care of and treated like everybody else. It doesn't matter if you came here as a walk-on or a five-star. You know, you're gonna work your butt off, and you're going to have a lot demanded of you. And if that's your kind of thing, you're going to do great. If not, then it's not going to work.
And if you can get on the plane, you get on the plane.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you got there. If you earned it, you got a seat.
Last thing for you before we go. The health of your team has been remarkable right now. We're more than halfway through the season, really down, I think, one starter. But the other day, about as healthy as you could possibly be at this time of the year.
Well, down about really three starters between, because Ryan was a split starter for us. Damari Brown was. Elijah Alston was a split starter for us. And who else? Well, Malik Bryant was on the second team, but those guys are getting – Elijah Alston is now healthy. Ryan is still a few weeks out. Ryan and DeMar are going to join us late in the year. You know, we'll get them back, but just late in the year. And those guys are really, really valuable. And then Malik was sick last week, but he's good to go now.
All right, Coach. Very best of luck this week against Florida State.
Thank you. Go Canes.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. We'll continue on the show right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Trevor Harris is our producer. On Saturday, Miami and Florida State, 7 p.m., we'll be on the air at 3. Don Bailey Jr. with us now, 52-45 over Louisville on Saturday. That was a heck of a ball game, DBJ. Maybe Don doesn't hear us. Shall we try again, Trevor? All right, Don, can you hear me now? Maybe not. All right, well, we'll try again. And at any rate, coming up in the next hour, Mike Cugno is going to be with us from Channel 4. Also with us will be Larry Bluestein. So we'll talk about recruiting. You know, when Miami and Florida State play, it's always about the recruits, right? So I suspect there'll be about 8,000 recruits on the sideline, the Miami sidelines on Saturday. And we'll always wonder about that, the impact of one game, how much of an impact there could be for one game. So we'll ask Blue about that coming up in hour number two, plus Miami doing a good job recruiting. Of course, we'll also talk to him about how they balance transfer portal against high school. At any rate, we'll try this again. DBJ, can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
There we go. All right.
Yeah, there we are.
We had a heck of a day on Saturday. Beautiful conditions and a whale of a football game.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day, Joe, and it was great. I mean, really, just you had everything you want. I mean, not maybe everything Miami staff wanted, but if you're a spectator, you certainly enjoyed all the action, whether it was good news or bad news as far as the plays go. But, you know, Cam Ward brings such excitement, but to generate 219 yards in the running game, that's something that I was happy to see. And, you know, you had four receivers with touchdowns, and it was just a phenomenal day. And to go on the road and, you know, I haven't been there. I don't think we went there in 20 because of COVID, right? I think we missed that deal. Yeah, we didn't go. So I hadn't been there in a while, and it is as good of an environment for college football as you can go to, and it was pretty darn loud. they came after Miami pretty darn hard.
Football, college football, I've used this before. It's like basketball. And so in basketball, if you get a 10-point lead, you want to take that to 14, and then you want to take it to 18. In Miami, in football, the one thing I think they've struggled a little bit with in some of these tight games is they've built a lead and then, for whatever reason, let it get away. Virginia Tech had a going in for a 14-point lead, could have stretched it to 10, or maybe they had a 10-point lead. But in this game, had a 10-point lead going into the end of the first half, That became a 7-point lead. Got a 14-point lead in the second half, and that became a tie game. And that's the one thing here over the next month, maybe, when you get ahead 10-14, then you got to jump ahead one more score.
Yeah, I think that's the textbook analysis of it. And, you know, the facts are Miami was playing a Louisville team that had a good running game, had a solid tight end, and had two guys on the outside that could run and play with anybody, and a quarterback that's in his seventh year of playing in college football. And as Coach Cristobal stated numerous times, maybe the best play caller and Coach Brohm in the country, you know, and they're going to get their points. So you just got to make sure that if you're an offense, you have no wasted possessions. And if you feel good about doing something like those fourth downs that Coach went for, you got to do that. And you got to depend on your defense if those things don't work out. But I think today's game, Joe, is basketball. It's going to be high scoring. And I don't, you know, there's very few teams right now in the country that are playing old school great defense. And what I mean by that, just, you know, 7 points, 10 points, 13 point games. It seems like everybody's in the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
It's funny because we kept saying in the game, force Louisville on long drives, force them to convert multiple third downs, and force them to work against Miami's pass rush. Well, Miami got 3 sacks, and on third downs, Louisville was 3 for 12. But they hit on a couple of fourth downs, and of course, they played on the short field and had the kickoff return.
Yeah, there was almost no rhythm in the game. There were longer drives, but there were big plays, it seemed, in every drive. And the thing that was impressive for me, you know, if you're a Louisville fan, is, you know, those guys, they came into that football game thinking they're going to beat Miami and they're going to have the home field advantage and everything's going to turn out. And the thing that, you know, you had mentioned many times is Miami has never given up. I mean, this is the year that I think you see the culture that Coach Cristobal is instilling in these young men coming true. And it's good to see because they've been down, but they were down the last 2 games. And then against Louisville, they were tied or above and never returned the lead back to Louisville. So it was one heck of a battle. And it's good to see that this team is maturing, but I like the fact that, you know, all those receivers got involved too. Who do you cover?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take a break. And then when we come back, Mike Cugno from CBS4 is going to join us. We'll talk about Florida State and Miami. Mike has done some really good stories on some individual players, so we'll get his thoughts on some of the stories that he's done. And then Blue is going to join us. Larry Bluestein will be with us about 7:35 leading into his show, and we'll talk about the importance of this game in terms of recruiting and a bunch of other stuff with Blue as we continue on the Hurricane Hotline right after this.
I'm Azana. I live in Columbus, Ohio. When we vote, we send a message that we will be heard. And with so much at stake, our fundamental right to vote is on the line. We can't afford to miss this chance. Vote by November 5th.
Paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party. www.ohiodems.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.